You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There was a press release sent out by your organisation this morning hoping to draw more attention to people with addiction regarding sexual abuse. Can you explain?
I mean, the issue is that a lot of people that are in addiction treatment recovery have experienced childhood sexual abuse or other childhood trauma. So this is a really big issue, and I think one of the things that that often people do, they look at people with addictions and they see it as a moral failure, or this is a bad person, without actually understanding the context of what has led to their addiction. And I think the press release we put out, which is around Briar's story, that really highlights actually what were the drivers in her addiction.
Could you just tell us a bit about Briar?
Well, Briar, her story is around childhood sexual abuse over a large period of her childhood, from around 4 to 13, from a stepfather who was highly respected in his community. It didn't actually, she just pushed it down. It didn't actually come out until she went into addiction treatment, and then she started to process that. But her experience was that once she started using the substance that she was addicted to, which happened to be methamphetamine, it numbed her to the whole thing. She felt like, oh, well, actually, I'm over it. But, you know, the reality was that this thing was kind of brewing for a long time, and it wasn't until she went into treatment that she was able to deal with it.
Are you sort of saying that there is a double-barreled issue here for a lot of people?
I think that there is a double-barreled issue for most people that really end up with major addiction issues. I think it's quite hard to separate major addiction issues. I mean, you know, I'm talking about, you know, of course there will always be there's always exceptions to this, but most people with major addiction issues have had childhood trauma, and an overrepresented in recovery circles, addiction recovery circles, are people with childhood sexual abuse, both men and women actually.
You say that addiction is seen as a person's own responsibility, and often there are contributing factors that people don't necessarily see. Is there also a culture around sexual assault, and that people or survivors should take personal responsibility for that?
Well, I think the reality is the vast amount of people, and the Me Too campaign has highlighted this, the vast amount of children and adults who have experienced sexual assault over their lifetime, they don't actually disclose. They just, you know, so I think that there is this kind of culture, you know, you just tough it out. And I think the power imbalance between a child and an adult, so in Briar's case, there's this highly respected member of the community who's, you know, behaving in this really abhorrent way. You know, it would have been very difficult for her to have a voice. And actually, what she says in her story is actually, when she told, her family were very supportive of her. She came from a really good, loving, supportive family. And not everybody has that, you know, not everybody has a good response when they disclose it. But actually, it's quite hard. There's a lot of shame around sexual abuse of any age. And it's quite a difficult thing to disclose. And there's always some kind of power imbalance with sexual abuse. So the person who is the recipient of the abuse typically feels quite disempowered, and it's really difficult to actually bring to light the stuff that's happening.
In terms of bringing to light these experiences and these things that have occurred, people are also challenged or told to sort of clarify whether, you know, it was real sexual assault or real sexual abuse. Is the point of the Me Too campaign to try and show that this actually happens in all sorts of ways, and it's not about trying to clarify those ways, it's about showing that this is a real issue?
Well, I think the thing about the Me Too campaign, I mean, I didn't start the campaign, you know, so I can't, you know, really talk to the intent. But actually, I think the good thing about it is that people can actually say, this actually happened to me too. Whether it happened to me as a child, whether it happened as an adult, this actually happened to me. And the thing that I think is fantastic about it, I see men that I know who are often leaders and, leaders in various fields, actually saying, actually, this has been really confronting. I had no idea. I have been a bystander and kind of let this stuff happen. And even laughed about it to some extent. But, you know, I felt very confronted by this, and I want to be part of the change. I think that's fabulous. I remember when Louise Nichols came out, to me she was a real hero, because she had the guts to stand up and say the things that a lot of us we didn't actually have the courage to do it, and we didn't feel we had a vehicle to do it. So again, I think this is a campaign that raises the issues. Where we go with it is another question.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, I think from our perspective, I mean, I think so. People working in the addiction sector are our members, and they're registered with us, and I think they do a fabulous job of working with really highly complex and interlinked issues. What we're trying to better support the sector to work with trauma. We've run several trauma workshops. We will be doing some stuff around some workshops around sexual abuse, because we think it's so important that this is part of the healing journey for people with addictions. And Briar's story, she basically says if she hadn't had the opportunity to work through this in treatment, she doesn't believe she'd be drug free. She very much was self-medicating because of her feelings around the abuse.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.